Hi, Dojo Disciples. Sean Orange here. Vink and I recorded this episode you're about to hear before the recent Nintendo Direct video announcing the Wii U Virtual Console. So if the comment we make near the end about how the Wii U will let people play Virtual Console games on the gamepad eventually sounds out of place, that's because it is. We did record an episode about the Wii U Virtual Console that we intended to release before this episode. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, we won't be able to release that episode as planned. We will re-record it because it's a great topic, but it will have to wait until next week. If you're super interested in hearing what we have to say on the subject, we'll release our lovely garbled original episode 69 as an audio bonus exclusive to the FamicomDojo.tv website. You'll soon understand why we couldn't use the file as intended. Now, I'm going to do the Ira Glass thing where I stop talking, but tell you that you'll hear me again in the context of the actual episode of the show that you'll actually be listening to. But I don't actually have to do that, since I can seamlessly transition this into this week's tease, because Vink starts us off this episode. Hey, Vink, did you see what Lord Tude sent us?
Oh my gosh, I didn't see this.
No?
I didn't see the VinkCon 2013 poster.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh my gosh, yeah, he sent that to us like 4 months ago, and I totally forgot about it.
Vink might show up, too. Basketball might show up. Oh my gosh, I'm reading your Twitter right now. I've never seen that before. And as usual, I could have used that as the poster on the video. What I did was I used his 2012 poster, just changed the date.
Think.
Hey.
So it's a new year. New podcasts, good times, new videos coming out. All exciting things. Time for new video games, I think, too. So I have my Wii U. That's the most recent system I've bought.
Okay.
So I don't have like a 3DS and stuff. I was thinking about getting a Neo Geo X. What do you think?
Oh, don't ask me that question, because that's a question that's been going on in my own mind lately.
Well, I know it's like a couple $100, but you know, it's people I know have been buying it and saying really great things about it, so I'm thinking of biting the bullet.
How much do you love Neo Geo?
Well, I played a few of the games, but it's, you know, I kind of more like the form factor and just the idea behind it, being able to play like retro games on handheld and HDMI out to the TV and having a relatively good replica of the arcade stick.
Okay. Well, I guess I gotta say that if you're thinking of getting the Neo Geo X because of those things and you're not particularly interested in SNK, there's something else you might want to be looking into.
What do you mean?
Well, there's this. Okay, it's a Kickstarter. I know we bring up Kickstarters a lot, but
sure.
It's the GCW Zero.
What's that?
It's basically a handheld that's being made just for emulation and retro gaming.
A handheld.
Yeah. Okay. We'll find some similarities right there with the Neo Geo X. The Neo Geo X is a handheld. Really nice form factor, nice clicky sticks, very, very fun, and it's meant to play, you know, Neo Geo games, and only Neo Geo games, and only 21 Neo Geo games.
But this is the SD card, you can potentially get more games in the future,
that's
right?
That's why I said 21 games, because there's the Ninja Masters card. But, like, so far they're dragging their feet on announcing anything else for it.
Okay.
But the thing that it's got going for it is it looks absolutely beautiful, and it's legal.
What do you mean?
Well, okay. Basically, the Neo Geo X is just an emulator.
Right.
It's playing ROM, but it's a licensed emulator.
Gotcha.
And that's its greatest strength, is that with that licensing, they can really make it like specific for those games. But the problem is it's basically running Android, might be Linux, sorry, not exactly sure, but regardless, it's not running like, you know, SNK hardware. It's all being emulated. And they put a really nice, wide, beautiful screen on the thing. Like, really nice. Kind of like the PlayStation, kind of like the PSP screen.
Sure.
But you know what? Neo Geo games aren't widescreen.
Right.
And Neo Geo games don't need a high resolution screen because their resolution is, well, pretty low, actually.
I don't know. I can get around those things, potentially.
You can get around those things, but like if if you really want to play the games like looking how they should look, I guess this GCW0 thing is kind of something to look into.
So is SNK supporting that? Because it's a competitor in that case?
That's the thing. Nobody's officially supporting it. Well, parts of the open source community and some indie gamers and stuff are supporting it. But what it basically is it's an emulation station.
Oh my...
Yeah, it's about the same price as the Neo Geo X, although it doesn't have any base station, so it's about $130 for the whole kit and caboodle.
Right.
But I kind of want one, but it kind of goes against some of my moral imperatives.
Well, right, because if there's no official support and you pay for it, the only way you can use it is if you're downloading ROMs from somewhere.
Okay, now, the reason a thing like this can legally exist, of course, is because you can do it entirely legally. You know what I mean?
How so?
Some ROMs have gone into public domain. All of Color Dreams Library, for example, has hit public domain. Like if you want to play Menace Beach or something. And of course there's homebrew ROMs. People have made their own games. Or the demo scene. And of course this can also play like shareware things because it has DOS emulators. So you could play Chapter 1 of Doom or Chapter 1 of Wolfenstein completely legally. And of course some of the old PC games have hit public domain as well. For example, Flight of the Amazon Queen, the adventure game, which you can play through the Scum emulator, and Beneath a Steel Sky. Those have gone completely public domain.
Man, I think that's probably the only reason why they're able to even have it on Kickstarter, because if it was just like a break the law machine, it would not have passed muster.
This is basically, I'm probably pronouncing this right, but it's kind of like Like, if you go on, like, a lot of these, like, Chinese, like, order sites, like, Deals Extreme or something like that, they've had these type of devices forever that are basically just, like, emulation machines, Even some DVD players ship with the ability to throw ROMs onto it and play with a controller. So this is nothing new.
Right,
what this one is it's very nice. It's got a nice it's got a screen that's the original resolution of a lot of these games, the 320x200, and it's not trying to be anything else. It's not a computer. It's not a web browser. It's it's not running Android. It's running a version of Linux made basically just for gameplay.
Yeah, it's called Dingix or something. I'm looking at the page now here.
But, and you can play, great games like Cave Story and stuff like that. There are legal applications, but the main thing that people are excited about this is being able to play Super Nintendo ROMs, Game Boy Advance ROMs, Master System, TurboGrafx. It can emulate all kinds of, apparently all the way through PlayStation.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, and it's got a very similar form factor. Actually, it looks quite a bit like a Game Boy Advance, but the form factor is extremely similar to the Neo Geo X.
I guess Neo Geo X looks to me to be a better controlling system because it's got the really nice clicky stick like the Neo Pocket had.
Right.
This one is more of like a PSP type analog nub.
Right, yeah, and it's not even the main control. It's the there's a directional pad under the the natural thumb position there. I was about to say too that the button layout's the same as the SNES, but even though A and B are in the left right to left pattern, the X and Y are in left to right. So
well, yeah,
it's
but
a
I mean,
completely unique configuration.
You'll get map button.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, but I can't think like that though. I can't think like that because the only way I can do that is by breaking the law. I can't play Super Nintendo games. Oh man, native resolution, son of a gun.
Like.
I'm just.
I absolutely love this era of games. You know, the time leading up to, but possibly including the PlayStation. You know, a lot of modern games I've liked a lot. I have, but like my golden age was like Super Nintendo, Neo Geo, Sega Genesis. You know, and the stuff before that.
Right.
To be able to play all the TurboGrafx, including TurboGrafx CD games and Sega CD games, like on a portable like this, is a very attractive prospect to me. But it is illegal.
Right.
But one of those, it's one of them gray area things. It used to be easier to justify piracy. Because we used to be able to use the argument, well, the companies aren't selling these games anymore, so they are of no value to the company, so this is our only way of playing them. But now that we have things like Virtual Console and PlayStation Network and things that are re-releasing games...
Or even like websites, like good old games, where you can go and play that stuff.
Exactly. That unless something has actually been released to public domain, someone owns it and probably will do something with it either now or in the future.
Steam. Yeah, there's all kinds of outlets now that didn't used to exist like 10 years ago even.
This morning I was playing Jet Set Radio on my iPhone. And it's like a pretty much perfect Dreamcast port. Well, except the controls, but I mean that's iPhone. But they did a pretty good job with it. But, like, it's all the music, it's all the, you know, I think I paid, like, $1.99 for it. But anyway, so that was a game that you know, a lot of people resorted to emulation play or downright piracy, downloading the disc and burning it because, you know, people wanted to play the original game. And, like, it is available now, but I don't think any less people are going to download it, you know? Yeah. I mean, I don't think by having a legal version, the piracy is going to be any less. If that's what I...
Right. Well, it sounds like another excuse.
Yeah, well, it is, but... Well, I'm not sure if it's an excuse so much as saying that, you know, people who are going to pirate are going to pirate regardless of whether there's legal options.
Well, you know, that brings up a good question about, like, this in specific, but also other things in general, like something that's kind of been in my mind lately, region locking.
Ah, yes.
And the reason it's on my mind is because of a White House petition that's been started to ask the U.S. government to respond to the idea that they should ban companies in the U.S. from doing business with region locking on anything. I guess game consoles, but it'll probably affect DVD and Blu-ray eventually.
I guess. I mean, I think Blu-ray is better than DVD because there's only three regions for Blu-ray.
Still. Like I guess like Japan and the U.S. and Canada are all in the same region in Blu-ray.
Yeah,
which is an improvement over DVD.
I guess it sucks for people in the U.K. though.
But I mean, you know, I bring it up because similar arguments can be made, you know, around region locking. It's like I can buy this legally, actually, if I just pay for the console, but I don't want to. So I'm going to download, or like Operation Rainfall. You know, before those games came out, it's like, you know, I can get it, but I don't want to spend the money, so I'm going to just get a ROM burn it, play it on my computer, or if I can play it like on a hacked Wii, I'm going to do it that way.
So many when I was pretty active following Xenoblade when it first was announced, and you know a lot of people went through the process of hacking. It's a soft mod. It doesn't, you know, it's not opening up the console or anything. It's kind of a exploit. But they you know, cracked their Wii. They jailbroke their Wii, you know, so that they could play a legal game.
Right.
You know, they bought the game from PlayAsia or something, you know, but they bought the European version, which was in English, and they played it on their hacked Wii. But what happened, and like, I don't really have a problem with that. I don't really have any problem with that whatsoever. It's them playing a legally bought game on hardware that they own.
Right.
I see no problem with that, except for what happened was when people cracked their Wii open so they could play this game, a lot of them, after beating the game, realized, hey, I could have just downloaded that. Now that the Wii is cracked, I don't even need the disc anymore.
Right.
Like, kind of a slippery slope, because, first of all, a lot of people, because there's big loading times in a lot of games, what they do is once you crack your Wii, might as well rip the game to an external hard drive. Then you cut down on loading times. But, like, once you figured out those two things, it's really easy to go, oh, I guess I don't have to buy games anymore.
Yeah, that touches on a separate subject, too, of like how the Wii doesn't let you install games onto a external drive because it's not really a well-supported feature on the Wii, although that's changed with the Wii U, right?
Yep.
And then like the 360 and the PS3. Actually, the PS3 almost required you install your games in almost every instance.
Because of this, now I got to stop right now because I feel like I'm vilifying legal users of mods, and not everyone uses them for piracy.
Right, but it's just really easy to do it.
There are definitely people who don't. But Frodo, don't give me the ring, or it will, you know, that's what I'm thinking here, because like there are a lot of people who start off with good intention,
right?
But saying okay, now that you've done this with a simple download, like any game you want can be played exactly the same as a retail, actually better, because you no longer have to, you know, worry about keeping it in mint condition, or you know, and you can install it on a hard drive, you know, it actually adds to games that are out there that it's like infinitely possible to play all this stuff. There is a new kind of card reader that someone's made for the Dreamcast that hooks into the port where the VGA adapter or the expansion adapter would go.
Okay.
They made something, and basically, it's before, you know. Already, Dreamcast was like the easiest system to pirate. And it probably, wow. I mean, it's still in debate, but it's really one of the reasons for the downfall of the Dreamcast. The hardware sold very well at a loss, and people didn't need to buy games for it because they were ludicrously easy to copy. I knew three people in college who had Dreamcasts who didn't own a single game.
Oh, wow. I mean, I had a boot disc for Samba 2000, and then later I used it for Shenmue for the European version. And I would do stuff like I uploaded my Shenmue save from the first game and like fiddled with the bits on my computer and then re-downloaded it through SegaNet, you know, onto my VMU so that I could play continuing, you know, because they didn't release that game in America on Dreamcast. It only came out on Xbox.
So you're saying you don't really like region locking either, right?
I don't, but like, you know, these like weren't these weren't really gray areas, or at least I tell myself they aren't, because it didn't involve hacking the system. It didn't involve you know, voiding warranties, and I did buy the game and imported it. But the fact that Avenue was available to me and actually went, that's like, that's the farthest I've ever gone, really, to get something to work where the region locking was concerned.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just, but I realize like using the boot disk is not entirely, you know, it's just a software way around a hardware limitation that still is trying to be enforced.
The biggest I ever went was I bought a legal copy of Phantasy Star Online because I wanted to play it, and I bought the broadband adapter. Now, the first Phantasy Star Online in Japan supported the broadband adapter, but in America didn't.
Right.
Only supported, but like I was in college at the time and I didn't have a landline. If you downloaded the passport disk, I don't even remember how it went anymore. Anybody from that generation might remember it better. But we had to download like some kind of net disk from the Japanese one and configure it all using, I didn't speak any Japanese at the time, so we had to like follow this tutorial. But once it was configured on the Dreamcast, It appears that the ability to use the broadband was in the American code, but it just had to be, like, I don't know, activated or something.
Interesting.
Still don't remember. It was a long process, but it did involve downloading copyrighted Japanese software.
Right.
Now, we weren't playing the Japanese version of Phantasy Star Online. We were playing the American one, but we had to, and we did no modification to the system itself. But we had to use a bit of code that Sega made that they didn't release in America that we didn't buy.
Right.
But the thing is, even if we had bought that, whatever, it wouldn't have worked without some form of modification.
Man, and...
But I got so much more enjoyment out of Phantasy Star Online by actually being able to play it online.
Right, right. Yeah, that's so weird. I didn't realize that wasn't an inherent capability.
But that's my journey to the dark side. For the most, I mean, I think when I was a high school student or maybe early college, I experimented a little bit with. Wow, it sounds like I'm talking about drug use here.
Experiment.
I did some emulation, but at the time I found that I didn't particularly like it, because I think most of the emulators back there could do like perfect Nintendo emulation, but later systems, I don't know, bad frame rate. I didn't have a very good control pad at the time, so, you know, I was trying to play PlayStation with keyboard controls or something, you know.
Right.
I had an actual bought emulator. I had Bleem.
Yes, Bleem, right.
To play PlayStation games on the computer, and I had the three Bleemcast discs for Dreamcast. Mm-hmm. So I never beat Metal Gear Solid yet. Sorry, there's my one of my confessions. But I got pretty far into it. But I've never played it on a PlayStation system. I played it on Dreamcast.
Man, that's crazy. I mean, and that just touches upon a whole different thing of like, you know, you just didn't want to buy the system in America, but you buy all the discs legally and just play on the system it wasn't meant for. That's just all right, so my final example is something that you can do through the totally legal means to get around some region locking.
Go ahead.
They only released the black Game Boy player in America.
Okay.
But there are multiple Game Boy GameCube colors in both America and Japan. So if you wanted a purple one...
They only released the blue?
No, it was just black.
In America?
Just black.
So no orange or no...
No orange, no purple, no silver, no anything.
I have an orange GameCube Game Boy Advance player right now.
I bought an orange GameCube and Game Boy player in Japan.
Oh, okay.
So I'm good. But, you know, I also have an American... I also have an American disc already one.
Sorry.
So if I had, like, an American... orange GameCube, that wouldn't be a problem. So let's say you don't have a Game Boy player already, though, right?
Okay.
So like the Game Boy Advance, the Game Boy player itself is region free. The thing is, though, is that in order to run the Game Boy player, you have to have a disc, and that disc is region locked.
Yes.
So you have the Game Boy player. You can plug it into your American GameCube. Not pay this Japanese disc. I suppose you could use Freeloader. That's kind of a pain.
Yeah. I had Freeloader, yeah.
It should work, I think, though. But you have to use it every time. So it's kind of a pain. If you happen to have another Game Boy player for a different colored GameCube, you're set. So you're fine. You can just use that disc between the two. But if you want to run them both at once, because you want to like do that trick where you can chain together Game Boy players as like a controller for... anyway. But what you could do, at least at the time, and maybe you can still do it now, is you could actually go to Nintendo's website and order a disc for the Game Boy player separately. Wow. Like $10 maybe.
I suppose. People would lose those things all the time.
Yeah. So you just do that and you're good to go.
The idea on that is it comes in a Japanese GameCube box.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like if people didn't know what those looked like, they'd just see this small, tiny box and be like, what's this? So interesting decision that they made on that point. But it's just like, they couldn't release a Game Boy player that would just match the color of the GameCube I bought. It was a weird decision. Yep. I didn't support it. I didn't have any reason, because I had the black GameCube. It was the only one I bought, so I was fine. But like Phil Bond taught me this trick, and haven't had to use it yet, but now I'm passing it on to you.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
The GameCube I bought in is Japanese GameCube, and I had just Smash Brothers and Super Monkey Ball for it. And then I went back to the United States, where I stayed for a number more years, and at first I tried using a freeloader with it, and it worked okay, it would have some kind of weird compatibilities and things like that. So eventually my friend offered to open it up and install a Switch for it. What's interesting about the GameCube is both of the hardware configurations are on the system to begin with. The only thing that separates them is a dollop of solder.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I'm aware of this. It needs some pretty fine finger work to get that to work properly, or you could actually damage the system. Right.
But you have to void the warranty to do it, which I'm okay with. I mean, that's the risk you take. Now, have any laws been broken yet? No. In order to you unlock capability that's already on the system, you do have to void the warranty and you have to crack it open. And I think, and like, it worked out fine for me. The GameCube still works. It's still switched. It's still in my house. But like, why did I need to do that? Now, why didn't Nintendo have the Switch in all the way, or just put it in the options menu like they do on a lot of, like Apple does with their iPhones? iPhone you buy in Japan and the iPhone you buy in America is identical.
Well, it might depend.
Well, if it's on the same band,
right?
But like the operating system and everything is identical.
Right.
So, which makes it very universal,
Well, here's something that's not legal, or at least not something that companies want you to do, is if that's like on disk DLC, which I'm sure we talked about before, and you try and crack that is or what was the other thing? What's that?
That's why I hate on disk DLC.
That's why everyone hates on disk DLC. But I just, despite all these gripes, and I think they're legitimate gripes, I have to come back to like the idea behind this petition.
Okay.
And I don't see how it's going to do any good. How can you petition one government, in an international commercial market that's not breaking the law, and impose any sort of restrictions on them that are going to matter? Because there are going to be regions used elsewhere in the world. It's like America, which is already in its own region, just be like,
yeah,
Well, we're still going to have our own region. You know, is that going to make any difference? I'm not convinced.
Okay. I have a region-free DVD player.
Right.
Okay? It is region zero. It plays everything. It cost me $20. I bought it at a supermarket.
Right.
Right. That's how you get a free. That's how you get a region-free DVD player, because the companies making them don't bother to region code it because it costs money or something.
Yeah, but at the time, when DVDs were new, that was not a cheap proposition.
That's true. But okay, so the discs that I'm playing with it are still entirely region locked. Okay, that coding is still on the disc. The player just chooses to ignore it. That's right. What I think they're proposing to do for America. That if it's sold in America, it's got to be a region zero type thing.
I see. That might work. I mean, I think where that might fall down though is it really depends on how the region locking works. It depends on like when the law is supposed to take effect. Because like the GameCube example. Like, you know, there's a physical switch. I guess, you know, they would actually have to physically modify GameCube so that you can change it in hardware, in software, in the OS, like you were mentioning, or they have to install a switch on every system released in America from then on. Like, it's not something that they could do that would have no impact on the company, depending on how they do their region locking scheme. And I hope I made it clear I'm not a fan of region locking. I just don't know what one country's government can do to stop it. Effectively.
Well, so retro systems, they obviously couldn't do anything.
Right.
They can't go in and, you know, the government comes in and breaks the tabs off your Super Nintendo. Oh, man, that'd be awesome, though.
Right.
You have a Super Nintendo in the house? Get out the pliers, Agent M. You know, yeah.
Right, yeah. Can you imagine, like, the government PSAs on TV, like, or, like, in YouTube explaining how to do
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we should explain how to do that, though.
If only that were to happen relatively really soon this year.
Anyway, but like systems that aren't out yet. I mean, I don't think it would be a gargantuan effort to implement.
Well, yeah, I guess if they got it before the hardware was released, they could. You know, but then, really, is an international company going to change their entire region locking scheme for one country?
Yeah, that's an entirely different thing, though. Of course, if America did do this, the American release of the hardware would be the one to buy if you were a gamer.
Right. So, like, either they would not try and enforce the region locking in other countries. Yeah. Maybe that's what he's getting at. It's like, if a big country like America takes a stand against this, then it's not going to last long in the rest of the world because everyone's going to import from America.
Yeah. Well, that's why region locks exist in the first place, is so that the companies can control where things come. And it works with price fixing as well. Because, like, in Japan, new Final Fantasy games come out at over $100.
Right.
Yeah. But because people in Japan will pay that amount of money.
Right. If you could import it from the U.S. instead, I didn't think about it that way. Like, as an American importing Japanese games, it's like, well, I'll pay the high price. I don't care. But yeah, they would lose their incentive to charge larger prices.
Japan has a strong desire to do region locking because they are the highest. They're the and I suppose Europe as well, the two like most expensive gaming markets. But for America to remove region locks, America's already got pretty much the cheapest cost of games, other than maybe Asian editions from that are meant to be exported to like India or developing nations. You know,
well,
not saying India is a developing nation. Sorry, India or developing nations.
Send all hate mail to vink@famicomdojo.tv.
But you know they have a lower price point for certain things, like
right. They're
releasing. I really think that the Wii Mini, which you just tweeted about recently, I think the Wii Mini might turn out to be one of those consoles for with a lower price point games released to other countries.
Yeah, definitely.
But for America, if you remove region locks, but you still keep piracy highly blocked, all it's going to be doing is for Japanese companies who don't release games for other places, like, for example, Disaster Day of Crisis, or what other games that people really, really wanted that, that didn't come out? The Fatal Frame series. Now, true, they'll still be in Japanese. So the amount of gamers who are going to want to play these is going to be pretty small.
Right.
Like, that's the region locking that I'm not against. I don't think that if a Japanese company releases a game for the Japanese market, they are under any legal, ethical, moral, or financial obligation to put English into it. It's made for Japanese consumers, but I don't think that... I think the fact that the game's written in kanji is a barrier enough that people aren't going to be seeking out that version rather than a potential domestic version.
Right, yeah. So I guess there are ways to throw up barriers if they can't do region locking to still make it less desirable to buy another quote-unquote regions game. Because we mentioned about those price points being different, like not just in the U.S., but like, yeah, the economics of a different country. You know, people are, you know, maybe not most consumers, but like enough probably would want to buy the consoles only from this one country and then on the games from only this other country. And that would just, you know, the retailers. I think this all comes down to the retailers. It's not really... It's not so blatantly anti-consumer that they're just trying to upset everyone. They're trying not to upset their business partners in the retail community who have to sell these physical copies.
I as I told you, I bought two Wiis. Okay, I have two Wiis. They're sitting side by side. It looks really stupid, and I have to hide one of them when company comes over because it's hard to explain the need.
Someone said on Facebook, just like tape a flag of Japan or like U.S. the side of each one, and people will understand just by looking at them.
I don't want people to understand that part of me. I want them to think that I was accidentally gifted a second one or something. No, right. I don't want people to know how deep the rabbit hole goes.
It's not my Wii. It's for my daughter.
Yeah, both of them, because I have two daughters. But I could have hacked my Wii. You know what I mean? I could have made my Wii region free. And so many people have told me that that is how I should have done. Well, actually, at the time I bought it, they hadn't found a way to hack it yet. At the time I bought my second Wii. Because I bought them both launch aligned, pretty much.
Right.
But I could put the mod on. It would take an hour, you know, and then I wouldn't have to buy games anymore, and I wouldn't have to. Amazon doesn't ship American games to Japan, even legal ones.
Right.
So I have to go through companies like Play Asia, which charge you your amazing surcharge for the ability to get games like that. Or I have to have a friend, like for you with Xenoblade, I had no way of acquiring that game because there's no GameStop in Japan. They don't ship to Japan. So the only way I could get it was, you know, through someone I know. And I don't know.
So I guess barring this economic issues and barring... Yeah. You know, like places like PlayAsia will start cropping up and have to compete with. So maybe this will help, like the PlayAsia thing, where they have to like actually compete with each other because lots of import shops would open up and have to drive down the price, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that could be a good thing, but I doubt we're going to get a government's involvement, especially not the U.S. government's, because honestly, the simple way around all this region locking stuff is just to do what you did and buy a console for the region that you want to play the game. If you're already willing to spend PlayAsia prices on the games themselves, how big of a deal is it to spend another few hundred bucks more on the console?
You know, it really depends on the console. Buying two Wii U's is a massive investment.
Right now it is.
Right now it is. Yeah. But that's the thing. You can't force a government to impose what would be nice.
Right, because that's just good for consumers. It's obviously very bad for the business community,
Okay, I don't think it's very bad for the
Disney Okay, character. Okay.
I think it's a little bad.
I'm willing to admit something, that the whole retail scheme is for physical media is going to shrink. It's not going to go away entirely because people still want to own physical things and everything like that. But like, you know, the publishers themselves now, thanks to Steam, I would say, you know, the whole e-download thing, like Wii U has the eShop where you could download entire, like, you know, disc versions of games and put them on your hard drive, which is, you know, in one way a response to the people who are pirating things. And so, like, I don't want to buy the disc. Load times are better on the hard drive, like you were saying earlier. And so I'm sure this is a response to that. And that's terrible for the retailers who want to sell physical discs. And if you buy non-Nintendo games through the eShop, you get Club Nintendo points. So there's that incentive too.
Yeah.
So that's already kind of going by the wayside. They don't have these people to please as much anymore. So maybe this problem will solve itself if you give another generation, console generation or so. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Or it might get worse.
How could it get worse? Here's one thing, right? Even though you can download this stuff, it's still region locked.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
That's how it could get worse. Right now, I live in Japan and I want to play an American game. Right now, I've got to go and I've got to buy an American console, and I've got to get the American games and get them sent over here. But I'll tell you how it could get worse. When I cannot buy it because of where I'm located. If it goes direct download only, okay, let me tell you about Sony's PSN. I really wanted to buy the Magic the Gathering game for it, but Sony will not allow me to use a Japanese credit card or an American credit card because it scans that I'm currently living in Japan.
Well, hold on, though. So we had that MAGFest episode at the start of the year here.
Yeah.
At Ju Wario's panel, he said that on his website, you can play this.com, on his website, he has instructions for how you can make a Japanese PSN account credit card.
Easy. No problem. You can make the PSN account. I've got an American account and a Japanese account on my same console. No problem. Super easy. It's buying something. You cannot use an American credit card in Japan. You cannot use a Japanese credit card through an American blah blah blah. Here, let me. So here's how I finally got the game. I bought an American PSN point card and brought it to and got someone to bring it up to Japan for me, and I put in the number and I was able to use it.
Okay.
But the thing is they blocked my credit card because they scanned that I was currently residing in Japan. Now, I could have gotten through that with a VPN as well.
Right.
But that's a whole nother illegality thing. But anyway.
Well, I want to go and read those instructions for myself and see if they get around that problem. Because I think it does involve in buying points somehow.
Oh, well, okay. Well, then maybe. But, like, what I'm saying is it was really hard for me to do that, and that's current gen. They could make it a lot harder. In fact, if they wanted to, they could make it impossible.
And see, I don't understand the reason for region locking for digital content, because if the excuse is valid that it really is about their physical retail partners losing money, and they've already are shifting to the E thing in the first place, what does it matter to Nintendo that I bought something that was meant for their region?
Well, okay.
You know, they're still getting the money either way, right?
Well,
it's not going to a retail partner anymore.
Take Last Story.
Right.
In Japan, it was released by Nintendo itself. Okay, and Nintendo was making the money from that directly. Now, when it finally got released, congratulations, Operation Rainfall.
Right. Yeah.
On getting all three of the games localized for America. But when it was released in America, it was released by Exceed.
Right.
Then we're dealing with two different companies.
Right.
So often buys one version over the other version. So if someone in America buys the Japanese version, is that bad for Exceed? You know, that's one sale lost of the properly... Because Exceed bought the rights to release that game in America. In Europe, it was still... I believe the game was still released by Nintendo of Europe.
God, they have, like, no faith in the U.S. market. I hope Exceed proved them wrong.
They did. It was their... It was apparently their best... best-selling game that they've ever released.
Jeez.
And which probably is why they picked up Pandora's Tower, even though Pandora's Tower isn't as good of a game.
Right.
Here's what I'm against. I am against people putting locks on something. It's not that I want people to unlock something. I don't feel the entitlement to get something that, but like, I want them to stop blocking it. Okay, Nintendo 3DS. I don't know why you'd region lock a handheld. I just don't understand that. Even Nintendo always had region unlocked handhelds.
Can I give you a possible reason?
Go for it.
Operating systems. I mean, the DS had one.
Yeah.
But like, you know, most consoles and handhelds weren't really region locked except for like physical, like a chip or physical obstructions, because like all the software to run the title was on the game, and the hardware just ran it, like, you know, it's like a dumb box. So like the 3DS, the Wii U, all these other consoles now have really complicated operating systems and character sets. So like the Wii U can't do, or at least as it comes, can't do the Japanese character set, and it's probably entirely a software thing. At that point, but like we're talking like older consoles, like we're talking about the Neo Geo. It didn't have kanji built into this console itself for the US version or something, right? Like we talked about that?
No, that was a 3DO. Neo Geo is 3DO. fully region.
Okay.
Region free.
Yeah.
Neo Geo is completely region free.
So
every single iteration of Neo Geo has always been completely region free.
Okay. But I mean, you know, just there were physical limitations in the past for that stuff. Now it's probably all software, and there's no reason not to have one OS with all possible languages, because that's what, like, you know, desktop OSs are like now. Or you can download language packs that you want.
Yeah.
So.
But okay, I'll give you that, and especially when you do dealing with things that are going through like a Japanese network service or Mi integration or things like that. But like,
and like which servers do you connect to, right? Like if you buy a Japanese console and run it in America, it's still running, going over to Japan and talking to those servers, right? I bet that's what happens.
And that's probably one of the reasons Nintendo locks it, because they're trying to make things as simple as possible. If you were to buy like a Japanese version of Monster Hunter and then you couldn't go on, you know, NTT's server because you were out of the country or whatever, you know, there'd be angry calls to Nintendo, hey, why can't I do this?
Right.
But at the same time, like, they used to sell occasional import games at Best Buy. They used to sell Jump Superstars. But, like, they too many customers kept returning them because it's in Japanese. My kid can't play it, you know.
Right. Well, here's what angers me. Or like the Wii U, like, this is one of the few times I've seen, like, the different countries being able to talk to each other, like, under the same system.
Yeah.
But... like, so I have, like, you know, friends and followers and stuff in Japan now, but I can't talk to them because I don't have the Japanese character set on my Wii U. I can draw, I can remember how to write the kanji out, but it's like we're almost there. It's like they're kind of moving in that direction, but they're still holding on to this. Okay, so, I mean, we can go on about this forever, obviously, but, you know, I'm just like, I think it's a good idea. It has to happen, but the government is either incapable of doing anything effective about it or won't, because again, it's a commercial thing. You can just buy the product that you want and it should possibly maybe work. And why should the government get involved with commerce in that fashion?
I hate region lock so much, but the government being in control about this in any way scares me just as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once the government gets into, you know, once the government can mandate a business on this, you know. Okay, I support this petition not for the reason that I think it's going to work, but for the petition that perhaps it will call attention to the issue.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Because I don't think even if they got all their signatures, and even if the government tried to pass something, I don't think it would stick. I don't think it would actually ever be implemented. I really don't think this system can work. However, if it brings it to the point where the customers are demanding it so much that it even gets to that point, maybe some of these hardware manufacturers will realize that there is something going on there. Whereas a regular online petition, just by a bunch of gamers, not through the government, which companies can just ignore, this We the People website, if it gets the required number of signatures, it has to be discussed.
Right. But on the other hand, once this petition for the U.S. government to build a Death Star got sufficient signatures, and I don't think that's going to put any pressure on any other government to make a Death Star.
That's why the We the People website is kind of a dumb idea. Well, what else was it? Like, they got enough signatures more tons of times over to what was it? Try to deport Piers Morgan.
Oh.
And, I mean, all kinds of stupid things that come through there. If you hate Piers Morgan, I'm not calling you stupid. But, I mean, it's just like things that... But the thing is, what those people did by doing that was bring attention to it. Right. And it was. It was mentioned on the radio show.
They brought attention to Piers Morgan.
Whatever.
Sorry.
But the thing is, by that, they got exactly what they were looking for, which was coverage.
Right.
And if they do get enough signatures for this, the government, the response they'll probably make is, we can't do that.
Right.
But they have to issue an official response. It goes on record, you know.
Right.
And it does bring some attention to this. Will it actually change region coding? The companies will change it if they feel that they'll lose money by keeping it on, or that they'll gain more money by taking it off. That's really the reality of the situation. By getting all these signatures forward, it might show the companies that, oh, maybe here's what I'd pay for. I would pay a small extra fee to have a region unlocked console.
Oh dear.
I would. Or
most consumers, I bet, wouldn't, though.
I know, most consumers wouldn't. Or if a game didn't come out in my region, I would pay money for a commercially released patch. I'll buy the real game, and I'll pay $5 extra for some English.
Yeah, I'll buy the region unlocked channel from you, Nintendo. I will pay for that.
This is a massive issue, and we've got to talk about it more. I want to hear people's opinions, because this is a really divisive issue as well. And I have one just final question. And I'd like people to answer me this, because this is kind of a moral question. I own a Super Nintendo. I own a Super Famicom. I own the cartridge of Earthbound. These are all in my possessions. Should I feel bad about downloading a ROM of a game I already own legally, putting it on one of these handhelds and playing it in my bed, since the TV I can never use for the extent of time needed to complete an RPG?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Okay. You weren't asking me? Well, I mean, just to, like, one quick response to that is, if you can download it for the Wii Virtual Console, Nintendo is supposed to be making those games available for play on the gamepad eventually. So
Nintendo has said repeatedly that Earthbound will never be re-released.
Okay, so maybe not Earthbound specifically, but...
Yeah, well, I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem buying games that I can buy.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Because of... Or anything that involves licensing issues, like the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game.
Right.
Or something like that. Or, you know, a Rare game, because now they're Microsoft, you know.
Right, right.
Donkey Kong Country recently got removed from the Virtual Console.
As did a bunch of other stuff too. Yeah. So, all right. Well, agree, disagree. Let us know on our Facebook page, Famicom Dojo, Twitter, Famicom Dojo. Call us. Let us know what you think. About 3 minutes or so is, I think, the length of our voicemail. Yep. So that's 608-492-1923. We might play it on the show. Good times all around. Also, if you're liking the show, leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront. And rate us, please, so other people can listen to our thoughts about the gray areas around importing games and ROMs and cracking. Good times.
Okay, well, talk to you later.
All right, until next week, month, whenever we get the next episode out.
Yep.
The dojo is...
jailbroken. Okay.
All right.
Famicom Dojo.